You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, we're back. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Kings. Thank you to everyone out there that understood. Got a week away, a time off, a little vacation time. Perfect time to take it, I think. And back and ready to roll for more editions of Locked On Kings. Hopefully everybody is doing well as we welcome you back here. I'm Jason Ross. We're going to do this every day again, getting back at it with the NBA and the Sacramento Kings here on Locked On Kings. It's a good time to remind everybody as well about the entirety of the network now that NFL is up and running. Check out everything from Locked On Raiders, Locked On 49ers, anything NFL. It's all there on the Locked On Network. Certainly all things Locked On NBA. So, with that said, for us, got some catching up to do. That's what today's podcast is going to be, kind of picking up where we left off. A few things happened while I was gone, and so we will do that today here on Locked On Kings and have a full week of podcasts ahead coming your way. And as usual, find us on Audioboom, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and certainly subscribe on iTunes. Leave comments and reviews and ratings there. We would greatly appreciate that. But I just want to let everybody know while I'm back now from my vacation, and I took a vacation that I would encourage anybody that gets an opportunity to get a vacation, and hopefully you all get some time off at work, at whatever you do, whatever your passion is, whatever your life takes you. I hope you get some time to get away, and this was a great one for me. I'll say this. I went river rafting and fishing and kayaking and camping. It was all in one, all inclusive in one. Up on the Snake River in Idaho and Oregon, and kind of the border. That's where the Snake River flows there. But it was with my brothers, my uncle. There were some other people there as well. But talk about truly getting away. I had my phone, but no cell service. Just basically, I barely used it to take some pictures. Maybe every once in a while to check the time, but then it was kind of refreshing not even to worry about time. Anything going on in the world, just completely gone. And it's the way it used to be. It's not the way it is now. We live in a different world now, and that's fine. You got to grow. You got to adapt. You got to adjust. But it was just nice to, one, be in nature, also just to be away. I mean, there was nothing but the wilderness out there, and it was really cool. Saw some amazing things, had a great time with family, and just, it was awesome. It was absolutely an incredible trip. And if anybody gets a chance to even take vacation, staycation, stay at home. But when you get away, just try to do it. Try to truly get away if you can. Just my minute soapbox here about vacations. If you can, it was really great. And to be fully away, didn't know anything about news, didn't know anything about anything. Internet, just gone. Completely removed from anything that it wasn't even possible. And it was kind of nice and refreshing for just a couple days, about 4 or 5 days. And then now back at what the reality is for our present world. So with that said, I want to catch up on what has happened since I've been gone. And a couple of King's notes definitely have to pass your way that you guys already knew about, but I had to read up on and catch up on. And first, kind of a little bit in chronological order, I guess, from going back when I first left. But the Kings did make some news on a couple of fronts. One, Jakarr Sampson, who was a pretty good player for the Kings in Summer League in Las Vegas, did sign a two-way contract. Of course, you guys hopefully know about that with Jack Cooley, but that's an opportunity to play both for Sacramento and for the Reno Bighorns, the ability to do that, the new NBA rule with allowing two-way contracts. And Jakarr Sampson has played in the NBA a little bit. He's been with Denver. He was with Philly. I remember him with the Sixers. And last season was with the Iowa Energy in the D-League, but certainly Kings front office types were impressed with him in Las Vegas in Summer League, and just someone they want to keep an eye on and have a little bit of ties to and connections to. So Jakarr Sampson did sign that two-way contract earlier last week. Also, and I mentioned Jack Cooley is another one that they've done that with as well. Also, this is something that Kings fans are always kind of excited about as the season is coming. We're getting closer to the NBA schedule being released. We already have the preseason schedule, but jersey numbers, people get excited about that. Well, that news was unveiled as well, and the veterans always kind of went out. George Hill ends up getting number 3. That's a number he's had his entire career. Scalabissiere was able to move. He goes to number 7, which was Darren Collison, who's obviously no longer a King. Zach Randolph gets his familiar number 50. He'll wear that as a King. Vince Carter gets number 15. Of course, that was DeMarcus Cousins, John Salmons, a bunch of different people over the years, but most recently DeMarcus Cousins. But Vince Carter will have number 15. Frank Mason III will wear number 10. Malachi Richardson wore 23 in Summer League. That's a number he's going to wear this upcoming season for the Sacramento Kings. And Bogdan Bogdanovic has picked number 8. So George Hill 3, Zach Randolph 50, Vince Carter 15, Scow will wear 7, Mason number 10, Malachi 23, and Bogdanovic number 8 for the upcoming season for the Sacramento Kings. Other news that happened, this happened right when I was getting out of town, and I think this is was interesting, exciting. It's been one that's been in our Friday mailbag for several weeks, people wondering about replacing Scott Perry. How are the Kings going to be able to do it? What will they do? People ask that question quite a bit of me, and I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't know if there was a sense of urgency. I thought they would take more time. Then as I kind of talked to more people really tied into the organization, they said, no, they think they're going to actually go at this. And we had heard about, and I'd mentioned before, about meetings with Otis Smith. There was some talk about Ronnie Lester, a couple different people the Kings were looking at, but they have named Brandon Williams, who was a 76ers executive. He will be the assistant general manager. And here's, I'll read to you the Kings release. This is what I have. So I had this in my mailbox. In his new role with Sacramento, Williams will support all facets of the day-to-day operation of the Kings front office, including roster composition, player evaluation and development, contractual negotiations, free agency procurement, collegiate, G League, and NBA scouting processes, and player personnel matters. Quote, we are so excited that Brandon is joining our front office team, said Vlade Divac. He is an experienced and talented basketball executive. His knowledge of player development and basketball operations combined with his legal skills will be a strong addition to our team, end quote. Williams joins the Kings organization after spending the previous 4 years as an executive with Philadelphia, most recently serving as VP of basketball operation or administration and general manager of the NBA's G League Delaware 87ers. That's in addition to aiding the 76ers front office in matters regarding prospect evaluation, player development, staffing recruitment, and contract negotiations. Former Davidson Wildcat standout helped facilitate several NBA call-ups and coaching promotions as the 87ers general manager. So Brandon Williams is a guy that's played some, kind of a grind guy in the NBA, tried to get some NBA floor time, but now has done the same competing type mentality in NBA front offices. He has worked under Jerry Colangelo and Sam Hinkie. So it's a guy that's, you know, dealt with the Philadelphia front office. There is experience. Vlade's still going to be in charge, but based on the people I've talked to, based on the resume, I didn't know him coming in, but I do like what I hear. And it was very similar to my feeling about Scott Perry. I didn't know a lot about Scott Perry. I'd heard the name once or twice, but everybody was raving about him. A lot of people are pretty high on this hire by the Kings of Brandon Williams. And again, I said it back then, I'll say it again. To me, it's about adding more and more quality people to your front office. And this seems to check all the boxes, right? You've got Vlade, you've got Peja, you got Bratz, you got Catenella. Now you have Brandon Williams and others, Luke Bourne, all the different people that will be quote unquote decision makers. You get quality people, knowledgeable people, you're going to have a better front office. And I think the Kings are doing it. I think they're building it the right way. And if Vlade feels comfortable with this, I feel comfortable with it as well. So they got the best of Scott Perry in the little bit of time he was here, and hopefully they'll have a long relationship with Brandon Williams going forward. So those are some of the things that happened as far as Kings news while I was off last week. The other one I'm going to spend a little bit of time with is something that was released during the week as well. Kevin Pelton, who we've actually going to, I'm going to try to get him on. I've saw him at Summer League. He's a very good analytics guy. He's an ESPN writer. And he came out with projections for every NBA team for 2017-2018. Of course, we'll focus in on the Sacramento Kings, but I want to give you some of the key. I'll pick out a few teams in the Eastern Conference first. The number one rated team, according to Kevin Pelton's kind of analysis, has Boston getting a 49.4 projected win total. So what's interesting there is it's under 50 for an Eastern Conference one seed. Cleveland 49.2, Wizards 47.5, Milwaukee 46.9, Charlotte would be fifth with 44-1. Toronto has been a consistent playoff team at 43-4. Miami 42-3. And the 8 seed, at least according to Kevin Pelton, would be Detroit. Projected wins 35.1. Man. So we talked about the discrepancy between the East and the West. This looks very dramatic, at least if this is anywhere close to accurate. That would mean Philly, Orlando, Indiana, New York, Brooklyn, Chicago, and Atlanta would miss the postseason. Atlanta at 27 wins is the lowest in the Eastern Conference and overall the lowest in Kevin Pelton's projected win total for NBA teams. Now, let's go to the Western Conference. Number one, no surprise, Golden State Warriors, 62.1. I believe that's a little bit low. I think they'll even be better than last year and threaten 70 wins again. Just they're loaded. They're so deep. Should be better than ever. And I think they can rest guys and still win a ton of games. Rockets are number two at 55 wins. Spurs three at 52.6. Minnesota has the longer drought than the Sacramento Kings in making the playoffs. He has them winning 50.1. OKC 49.5. These are the projected wins, and there's math and you know different kind of calculations here that gets him to these numbers. Clippers at 6 at 48.9. Denver. Let's spend some time on Denver. 47.2. The Nuggets finished a game behind Portland for the 8 seed and final West playoff spot last season. The addition of All-Star forward Paul Millsap plus budding star Nikola Jokic starting at center from day one makes Denver a favorite to reach the postseason this time around. I like Coach Malone. I love Coach Malone, actually. I feel like Denver's getting too much love. That's just my opinion. I don't love their starting lineup. I really don't. I think it's thin. I think they're one right now. I think they'll miss Gallinari. I think there's a few other. I mean, Millsap's good. There's no doubt. Former All-Star Jokic is getting a lot of love. I think the backcourt's a little thin, and I don't know. I just don't see them making the top eight. At least that's today. That's my thought today. Utah, they still have in at the eight. Most people don't, but I'm glad that he does. I don't think there's going to be as big a drop-off as some expect. 44.7. So then the team's missing the postseason. Number nine, New Orleans. So that's, of course, the duo of DeMarcus and Anthony Davis with the addition of Rajon Rondo. They have Jrue Holiday, but what else do they have? They have him at 44.2. Portland missing this year, if this is correct. They have him at 43.8. Dallas, then that's where the drop-off goes to 11 at 34.6. Memphis at 34.6. And then 13, the Lakers, 33 wins. 14, Phoenix, 30.3. And that leaves one team, and that is your Sacramento Kings. Projected wins, 27.4. Here's what he says about the Kings. Despite adding veterans Vince Carter, George Hill, and Zach Randolph as free agents, the Kings are projected as the league's second-worst offensive attack by RPM. Although this isn't part of their projection, few teams will have more incentive to improve their draft pick as Sacramento won't have its first rounder in 2019 due to trade. Well, that's not a reason why he's picking them to get 15 and the 27.4 wins, but I do want to start with that comment. I know that's something that, hey, I've read your Friday mailbags and I work on the radio all the time and hear people's comments. A lot of people are hung up on that 2019 draft pick not being there. Listen, I wish the Kings had it. They don't at the moment. They still can trade in and get in there at some point, but the reality is they don't have it. And I don't think you need to affect your 2017-18 season in any way, shape, or form because of what you don't have in 2019. I think you just play this year, and if you win a ton of games, great. If you don't, well, then you plan accordingly. But I don't think there's any reason to purposely try to lose just because you don't have a draft pick in 2 years. You're trying to get better. This team is trying to build. They made the big decision to move away from DeMarcus. They've really around a lot of young guys. They've sprinkled in a few veterans, and they're hoping the young guys click in some way. A couple of them become studs to go with the veteran leadership, and then they start winning. Now, as I read all those Western Conference projections, I don't know that I believe that Phoenix is better than the Kings. I'm not entirely sure that the Lakers are. Lakers are getting a lot of attention. They won Summer League, but how much better are they? There's some gaps in their lineup. They were one of the worst defenses in the league last year. I do think that Lonzo Ball is going to help them tremendously on offense, but there's still some holes there. Dallas and Memphis, they're so well coached, they may be okay. Portland, New Orleans. New Orleans to me is still one of the intriguing teams because I've said I wanted to see DeMarcus and Anthony Davis for a full season. I just don't know about the depth of that entire roster. But if we focus in on the Kings and 27.4, seems a little low to me. I don't have my projection as much higher than that. And maybe this is more a reflection of the Western Conference, but I'm going to go on the same thing. I think the Kings are well coached. I don't know what their true identity will be, and we wondered about that a lot last year, but as the year went on, I think what we kind of figured out was this was a team that had its flaws but did compete on a nightly basis. And if you have that, if you compete every night in the NBA, and by every night, I'll say the majority of the nights, if you're losing, you're losing because you don't have enough talent. It's not because the effort isn't there. And I honestly didn't feel that that was a lack of effort very often by the Sacramento Kings. Now, there were too many times where they had big leads and blew it, or big deficits and came back and made a two-possession game late, but they kept competing. And I think that's the coaching staff is so good. Dave Yeager is really well, is really sharp in games. So I think based on the DNA of Vince Carter, George Hill, and Zach Randolph, the veterans they added, the hunger they still have, the guys they kept in Costa and Garrett Temple, and then all the young guys trying to prove themselves, I feel like this is going to be an early identity of this team too, a team that competes. So you get some teams that aren't really focused or think the Kings will be a cakewalk. I could see Sacramento getting wins like they did last year against the Warriors and Cavs and sweeping Toronto, teams that were clearly better than the Kings, but they just came in and played hard and battled, and the other teams may have taken them for granted. So again, I probably wouldn't have the Kings dead last in the West. I don't have them making the playoffs either, but 27.4 seems a little low, and last in the West seems very low to me. I think they'll be ahead of Phoenix. I wouldn't be surprised if they're ahead of the Lakers, and then kind of in that mix with Dallas, maybe Denver, and a few other teams. And then if somebody has a huge injury, some of these other teams that we're thinking so highly of, you know, could easily drop. And so it's going to be fun to see, but it's just one man's opinion there and Kevin Pelton. And I just thought I'd go over that a little bit and kind of dissect some of those numbers. But some of them seem a little low, like the Warriors. I want to read what they said about the Golden State Warriors. Despite being projected for four fewer wins than last year's RPM projection, which was one of the best on record and nearly matched their total of 67 wins, Golden State is still projected seven games ahead of any NBA team. The decline largely reflects projected aging by veterans Andre Iguodala and David West. Still, RPM backs up the notion that Warriors are heavy favorites to win their third championship in 4 years. So, we'll see how this goes, but these questions and how this was done is an early look at the projections using the real plus minus, and that's what they kind of how they did that last season. Those projections correctly forecasted what the Rockets would do, that Denver would challenge 500, the Knicks would stay in the lottery. These are some of the things they got right last year, so we'll see how it goes this year. Again, I don't see the Kings as a playoff team, but I think their win total and being last in the West is a little bit too low for my opinion on that. So caught up a little bit on what I missed out on. Thank you for everyone for being patient for me being off for a week, but it's good to be back. We've got more days of podcasts coming up all week. Again, you can get in on the Friday mailbag, jason.ross@cbsradio.com or on Twitter at jasonross1140. Follow us there. Certainly subscribe to iTunes. Get this podcast when you want it on demand for free each and every day. So NBA and Kings content for you. Rate us and review us if you would on iTunes. If you just take a couple seconds to do that. Check out all of the Locked On Network, though, for football information on your favorite team, fantasy stuff, NBA on every team. It's all there each and every day on the Locked On Network. Also, Audioboom, Stitcher, and Google Play, the different places to find us. So, again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.